Look in Matthew 23. Matthew 23 and verse 37. Now, once you find that, 23:37 in Matthew, once you find that, then go to Genesis chapter 1, because we're going to use both of those. But I figure I'd give you the hardest one to find first. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 27. Genesis, I'm sorry. Yeah. You know what I'm thinking, not what I'm saying, huh? Genesis 1, 27. Genesis 1:27 and Matthew 23:37. Two different references here, and we're going to tie these together here in a little bit. And Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem. Matthew 23:37. Thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Genesis 1 and 27. Genesis 1 and 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we just thank you for your wonderful words and the many wonderful, magnificent things that are in it. And God, help us to understand. Help us get a grasp of the heart of Jesus here tonight. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we preached on the faith of a woman, of a mother, how nothing could talk her out of it, nothing could change her mind, nothing could turn her away from it, nothing could stop her faith. And we talked about the power of the prayer of mothers and the mothers' hearts and those type of things. The main gender in the Bible that's used for God is male, a man. But there are few references in the Bible that use the female gender for him. The one we read in Matthew, Jesus is comparing himself to a hen. We were sitting around here talking before church, and we was talking about snakes and lizards and spiders and how they eat all everything, roadrunners and all those things. Well, the hawks and the chicken hawks and the things, they like to eat the little chickens. And when the hen sees the shadow up in the air, she'll start clucking. And those little chicks all run. And she puts out her wings and covers them up, and she makes herself look bigger and hides the little ones. Because some of those little hawks, they can't pick up a big hen. Well, Jesus was comparing himself to a hen. And he wanted to do that with Jerusalem. Remember, he came into his own received not. But they would not come to him. The Jerusalem would not come to Jesus. Jerusalem would not let Jesus put out his wings and pull him in and protect him from the wiles of the devil. They would not do that. They wouldn't come to him. They refused him. He is comparing himself to how much a hen will do to protect her little ones. In Genesis 1:27, it says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, created he him, male and female, created he them. See, if we're all made in the image of the male gender of God, there wouldn't be any women. But he created them in his image. So women are created in the image of God, just as men are created in the image of God. Both are created in the image of God. Now, men and women are very different. Their emotions, their hearts, the way they think, their spiritual life, they're very different. Many times a woman, not always, but many times a woman has a greater prayer life. She has a more, well, maybe I shouldn't use the word greater prayer life, but she has a more compassionate, loving type of prayer because her heart generally is tenderer than a guy's heart. And she really prays for the children and things like that. Not that the man doesn't, but they're different emotionally. There, this woman that we studied this morning, she had a great, big, huge heart for her daughter. Humongous heart for her daughter. And her faith was just as large. And she was willing to stand and believe and ask and ask and ask until she got her request. Nothing would stop her. Jesus has that same heart. Jesus has the heart of a mother also. We sang songs about love tonight. We talked about John 3:16 this morning, a world-sized love. Where did that mama get that heart from? God. Her creator. That's where she got that heart from. That's where she got that concern. That's where she got that willingness to fall down at the feet of Jesus and worship him. That's where she got it. She got it from her creator. As Mary held the baby Jesus in her arms, she was holding her creator. He came through the womb that he made and designed. The way that the womb was designed, the umbilical cord, the blood, how it didn't mix, all of those things were designed by God. Looking forward to the virgin birth. All of those things were done. God did all of this. No matter how bad some children turn out, they're still loved. They're still loved. There are some people talking about how the psychology of bringing kids back and all that stuff and everything. You know what brought the prodigal son back? Living with the pigs. And realizing how bad he was. He's the one that come back to the Father. Yes, the Father was waiting for him. Yes, the Father was praying for him. Yes, the Father wanted him to come home. But it was the boy that took the step to come home. I know that that father was praying for that boy to come home. He's not going to be waiting out at the gate. He's not going to see that boy coming from a long ways away and go out there and run and grab him and hold him when he smells like the pigs and hug him and kiss him and put a robe on him, put a ring on his finger and put shoes on his feet. He's not going to do all of those things if he hadn't been praying for him. If he hadn't have been praying for him, he wouldn't have been out there looking, waiting for him to come home. praying for results. He was waiting. That dad had a huge heart for that boy. Where's that heart come from? It comes from the Creator, God. Was this woman this morning, was she praying, not expecting an answer? No. She was praying, expecting an answer. The father of the prodigal son, he was praying and he was sitting at or standing at the gate looking for the answered prayer. He was looking for the answered prayer of his son coming home. Why else was he out there? Watching the sunset? He was looking for his boy. It says when he was a great way off, it says in Luke, he recognized him from way over there. Let's go over there to Luke. I think it's 15. We got to see something here, folks. Luke 15. Verse 3. Luke 15:3. There's three parables here, all dealing with the same subject. 15:3 in Luke. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he gathereth together his friends and rejoiced, saying unto them, rejoice for me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. The 99 stayed home. The one took off. It was his sheep that took off. It wasn't somebody else's sheep. It was his sheep. It was part of his flock and they took off. And when he found it, he picked it up and he put it on his shoulders and he carried it home and he kept looking till he found it. And there was rejoicing in heaven. Look at verse 8. Either that woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle, sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she had found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And then he goes into the story about the two sons and the prodigal son. Look at verse 20 of chapter 15. As the son is coming home, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, the father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Compassion. Compassion is love with action. All of these things were looking for something. Looking for something. Looking for something that was theirs that they lost. Looking for something that was theirs that they lost. A shepherd goes out after just one. We, as a church, need to love the wayward sheep. We've had some sheep come through here and got sucked up in something out there. Prayer. Prayer. We all say that we believe there's power in prayer. And I know there is. I know there is. You got a big old boulder over here you want to move. You got a little stick of dynamite. You're going to move that boulder with that. You're going to bust it up or whatever. You've got the power there to do it. But if you don't take it out of your pocket and put it underneath the rock and light it, it ain't going to do nothing. The power is there. But we got to contact it. We got to get it. We got to apply it. We got to use it. Was that father praying, God, I pray for all the lost people in the world that you'll send them home? He was praying for that one son of his that broke his heart. The woman. Was she praying for all the other daughters? She's praying for the one that was dear to her heart. Was that shepherd out looking for other people's sheep? No, he was looking for his sheep. Was that woman scrounging around in the neighbors for that coin? No, she was looking right there in her own house for that coin. Why? Why? He had 99. Why worry about that one? She still had 9 coins. Why worry about that other one? He still had a son at home. That one's went off and wasted all the money and everything. Why does he care about him? That woman could have had more children. Why don't you just let that one die and go on? You know why? Because we're made in the image of God. We are made in the image of God. Male and female created he them. He wanted to gather them in, but they wouldn't come. But Jesus tried. Jesus tried. Jesus tried. Jesus tried. Jesus prayed for them. Jesus kept working. Jesus sent his disciples. Jesus kept trying. Paul tried. Philip tried. Stephen tried. All these people tried. Sometimes they got results. Sometimes they didn't. But they tried. They didn't quit. We're not trying hard enough. I'm not trying hard enough. We need to have specific prayers for specific people for spiritual reasons. I'm not saying not for the sick, and I'm not discounting that. But we need to bring people's names up before the throne of God. And we need to call down power on high to touch our lives and to touch this church and to touch this town and bring people into Jesus. We need to have a list of names on it. And we need to lay that down before our face. And we need to lift that person up in prayer before God. Our sheep. Our sheep. That have got away from the flock. I was thinking about Renee today. Thinking about her Saturday. Precious girl. Got some problems, yeah. Colton, precious little boy. Tried and tried. And then I get upset when I get ignored. When people tell me that they don't know that their cell phone has a message on it, and somebody that lives with a cell phone, I mean, it almost grows out of their ear, I know that's an excuse. So why should I quit? We need to uplift them before God. I was thinking of Chris Jones today.
I was talking to Brother Wood Saturday.
He's asking me about him. There's so much potential in that man. In that family. Sin, world, Pull him away. I think I found out where he's work. I think I can find him. Don't have any phone numbers or anything. I think I can find him. Jim Boland. These people. Lift up in prayer before God. Melissa, Chris's wife. All those four boys. Gracie. With little Donnie. And her grandson, that's her grandson. And her cousin, Donnie's cousin, the other little Gracie, the girl. There has to be prayer. Has to be, these people have to be lifted up before the throne of God. And ask God to change their lives and to move in a mighty way. Do something in their lives. Change them. Change them. For the glory of Jesus. For their own well-being. For their own families. Everything. I'm sure there's some I've haven't got in my head right now. These are people that have been here. They've heard the word. Been involved for a while. The question is, who cares? Who cares? The shepherd cares. Rejoicing in the presence of the angels, heaven cares. Jesus cares. Those families care. Do we? Do we? Are we willing? Are we willing to make a commitment? Are we willing? Ivana's getting ready to graduate. I mean, she's here and everything, you know. But that's, I mean, it's... You're losing something out of the nest there a little bit almost, you know. I don't guess she's going off getting married anytime soon, but I mean, you know. But I mean, that's a hard time for parents, you know. They've already got one married. That's, I mean, I guess he's, yeah. And Abe's still looking, I guess. I don't know. But listen, we got people right here, you know. Al's got a dad. And they got Loretta's got a brother. she's got a whole bunch of brothers. Got seven brothers. But I'm just saying about the one that has the cancer and stuff, you know? We need to compile a list of these names. And we need to have a prayer meeting in God's house on a weekly basis. And our prayer needs to be for spiritual healing in these people. And lift them up before God's throne. And pray that God will move in a mighty way. And then put feet to the prayers. You can get that stick of dynamite. You can dig a nice hole underneath that rock. You can put it all underneath that rock. Then you can walk off and leave it and wait for the sun to do something. But I tell you, when you strike that match, you better get out of the way. Because something's going to happen. We need power from on high. And I don't know anywhere else to get it except through prayer. Word of God, power of Jesus. But it's going to take a commitment on my part and on your part. I think we need to meet on Saturday mornings, 8:30. Have prayer time. And then when we're done, we're done. And those that can, we'll go out and visit it. But I'm not talking about just 5 minutes. We need to, each and every individual goes down that list in their prayers before God. It's not going to be a praying contest of who lasts the longest or whatever, who has the biggest words. No. It's a time of seeking power from God. We need to pray for these people. These people. And then we need to pray that the Spirit of God will have power to move in His house. In His house. The invitation time is not the ending. That's the whole, it's all geared down to that. You think about this. Everything that's done in this church for the 24/7 days of the week, everything that's done around here, the cleaning, the grounds, the prayer, the study, the lights, the bills, all of those things, all of that is done. All of that is geared. All of that is to that invitation time. And the Bible study time when you grow and learn. The church is supposed to teach and learn. The Bible study time, the preaching, that invitation. When the power of the Spirit of God moves. I know, I've been there. I've been out there. I know how it is sometimes. As soon as the invitation starts, you start, boom. Where are we going to go eat? What are we going to do? Is the roast drying out? Is it okay? I mean, we start making all of these things in our head because we think it's over. That's the time that this roof needs to be lifted by the prayers of His saints. And people that are under that kind of power of God will move in their lives. Think about Martin. He comes when he can. But I mean, here's another man. There's some things. That's, you know, there's lots of people. We can pray and lift up before God. I've been racking my brain for a time. It's the best thing I can come up with. 8:30 on Saturday mornings, that's the best thing I can come up with. The other option is 7 o'clock Sunday morning. But that's too late. Well, not too late to pray. But if we're going to go out and visit those that are, I realize some of you can't. I realize that. But there's not one person that can't pray. We've had some great prayer warriors that couldn't even talk. Couldn't even get out of their wheelchair. Couldn't even feed themselves. But they were powerful prayer warriors. Because they didn't have anything else to do. What are your expectations for God's house? What are the expectations for Renee, Chris, Melissa, Jim, Martine, Gracie, Donnie, Gracie? How is it going to happen? I'm going to get this here. Ooh, you're healed. Magic wand? No. Has to be God. Has to be God. God has blessings to give us. All we got to do is ask for them. All we got to do is ask for them. This is not going to be you have people that you know personally that you want on this prayer list for spiritual reasons, then we need to make a list. And those that we can contact by knocking on their door, we need to do it. We need to do it. Those that maybe we cannot contact by knocking on the door, send them a letter. Send them a tract. Send them a phone call. Do something. Do something. But I think our number one concern right now is souls, salvation, and the sheep that's been here. The sheep that's been here. Luciano. Another one. The sheep that's been here. We need to be a praying church. And don't wait till Saturday to pray for this. This is when we're going to gather together and put our power together. It's going to be a commitment. It's going to be some rearranging. It's going to be some things. Some of you won't be able to make it all the time. But you can if you want to. Can if you want to. When you get a glimpse of a true mother's heart, remember that God made that soul to feel that way. When you get a glimpse of the heart of Jesus, not just mothers and fathers both, but when you see that, remember, we love Him because He first loved us. He ran upon Him because He had compassion. Compassion. Love in action. Are you willing to make a commitment? Well, I will as long as this don't come up. That's not a commitment. make a commitment to God. Not to me. Not to your neighbor. But to God.